In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Gospel of this blessed Sunday, the third Sunday of the blessed month of Abib. As we just heard, it is the Gospel of the blessing where we find the Lord is feeding the multitude. And we read and hear at the end of the miracle that they all ate and were filled. And what we are going to talk about today is this idea of being fulfilled. Not only our physical needs for us to be satiated and our emotional needs, but also we as sinners, we have needs that go beyond just to be corrected. The easiest thing for us, we all know this, for a person who is taken in a mistake, is that maybe we try to correct, maybe reprimand the person, but there are other needs for a sinner. And these needs are fulfilled only through the Lord Christ. How he fulfilled the needs of a sinner? It is so complicated just to say that person needs forgiveness. Yes, he needs forgiveness, but what else? What is beyond forgiveness? Many things, and we can relate to what we are going to talk about today. This is for us to give us comfort and also to teach us how to deal with one another whenever someone is taken in kind of a trespass or a sin or whatever this person might have committed. What the sinner needs beyond forgiveness? The first thing is understand. Understanding means why he did this. We easily can condemn the person for doing something wrong, but we seldom look at the circumstances, what happened, how he lived, what made him to fall into this. This understanding does not mean excusing the person, but at least give us this sense of compassion. Why did this happen? We find this in the story of Abraham lying about his wife Sarah, saying she's my sister. She was taken by King Abimelech to marry her, because he was misinformed about who Sarah is. We find the Lord here showing understanding to Abraham and going to correct his mistake without even confronting Abraham or saying anything to him. Also, when Jacob tricked his father Isaac and he stole the blessing, no word from God to him. Jacob was really entitled to take the blessing, and God let it go, granted him what his father said. He was blessed. Something we talk about it later. So the first thing a sinner needs is maybe showing understanding. And again, I'm repeating, understanding does not mean approving, but at least it goes into sense of compassion. The second need for a sinner is patience. Nothing is going to be corrected in a day or in a week, and it takes time. We all know this. We are all sinners. And we all struggle with sins that sometimes lingering with us. We need patience. And God is showing this with us. I imagine if God is going to punish every one of us the moment we commit a sin, no one of us will be living today. We see this in how the Lord spoke with Jonah the prophet. Jonah was angry that God forgave the Ninevites. He went outside the city and he showed that I want even to die. And God is coming to him with patience, asking, is it right for you to be angry? Definitely not. But he was trying to engage him in a discussion, in a dialogue, trying to explain to him. He gave him the plan to cover his head, and then we know the rest of the story. Even in the parable of the prodigal son, the older brother was upset that the father accepted his brother. We find the father going out, talking with him, explaining to him, everything I have is yours, why are you upset? A sinner needs patience, and we all know this, and we relate to this as well. A sinner also needs to be defended. I remember when we were serving Sunday school back in Egypt, our coordinator said an advice to us as servants, whenever you go and visit a house, and the mother of the child or the father come and complain against the child, always defend him. Not because he is right, but it is not going to be something easy for this child to hear just a word of complaint from the father and mother And then the servant will add to it also a word to rebuke. This doesn't make sense, adding burden. A sinner needs to be defended. The woman caught in adultery was brought to the Lord by a multitude of the Pharisees wanting to stone her. The Lord defended her, not because she did something right, but because this is not the setup. Everyone is against her. Somebody needs to step up and get her out from this embarrassment and save her life first before telling her, go and sin no more. The woman who came to wash the feet of the Lord Christ in the house of Simon the leper, Simon the Pharisee. Simon looked at her and said, this woman is a sinner. She should not be here. She should not touch the feet of this man. We find the Lord Christ defending her and saying that she did so and so and so. She offered much love and he gave her like this kind of dignity in front of people. Sinners need to be defended. And this is something, again, we all forget. The fourth need for a sinner is to be respected. It doesn't mean because someone committed a sin that he is not worthy of respect. And this is a common mistake we do with people whenever they sin. Then we decide that they do not deserve to be respected. And then even with punishment goes humiliation and insult. And this is common, unfortunately, even in our households. A young man or a child makes a mistake, and then, okay, the parents have all the right maybe to punish the person, but they don't have any right to humiliate him or insult him. The Samaritan woman was a woman living in adultery, having 5 men living with them before and living with another person when the Lord Christ met with her, but he still respected her, and he even commended her for speaking the truth when she said, I have no husband. A sinner still needs to be respected. The fifth need is assurance of acceptance. Every sinner doubts in his mind that he will ever be accepted by God again. And as I said, we all can feel this. Even after we confess, we keep doubting ourselves. Did God truly accept me or not? And we hear the gospel telling us, the Lord Christ saying, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. No one ever came to him. And the Lord said, you know what? You are too much. I cannot accept you anymore. And again, the Lord Christ speaking to Simon the Pharisee, saying, when those two people are indebted to him, they had nothing with which to repay. He freely forgave them both. They cannot correct. They cannot pay for their mistakes. He forgave them out of his compassion. It's again an assurance of acceptance. And in the Gospel of St. Matthew, we hear the Lord instructing us, saying, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7, you should forgive your brother or sister. If he is instructing us to forgive others 7 by 70, how much he is willing and ready to forgive? Imagine the difference between us and him. This is assurance of acceptance. Sometimes we feel like, can I go and just confess my sin over and over and over and over? Sometimes we feel embarrassed. I'm going to Abuna with the same mistake. No embarrassment here. If he is telling us to forgive 7 by 70, how much he is going to accept us and forgive us? The sixth need is to hear a word of forgiveness. And that's why it's crucial for us to practice the sacrament of confession, that we hear from the priest who is entrusted from God to pass this absolution. It's not enough to know that you are forgiven. It is also important to hear that you are forgiven. The Lord Christ, when he encountered the paralytic who was carried by his 4 friends, the first thing he said to him, son, your sins are forgiven you. Why it's important to say it? He needs to hear it. And we need to do the same as well. You tell your, the person who sinned against you are forgiven, I forgive you, and I'm samhak, it's okay, we let go, we can make a new start. That's why, as I said, he granted us this, the sacrament of confession, in order for us to hear the word that you are absolved, your sins are forgiven you. The seventh need is to be seen as valuable. One of the things that break whenever we sin is my sense of value. I am worthless. Sadly, sometimes we go and live with this. No matter how hard we try, our sense of that we are unworthy, that is a burden on us. And we find here again, the Lord is doing this with sinners, making them know and feel they are valuable. Calling Levi to be a disciple, a man who is a tax collector, despised by others, seeing in him value, come and follow me. And he did. Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, people hated him, but the Lord saw in him value, went to his house and blessed him, and promised salvation has come to this house today. Something also we need to think about. People can sin, yes, but they do not lose value. I like this metaphor that one of the preachers said. He got a currency, $100, and then he started to crumble it and put it on the ground and he stepped on it. Yes, it's crumbled and it's full of dirt, but it still has value. When you just like bring it back, you still can use it. Yes, we sin. But that does not mean that we lose value when we do so, and that Christ made it manifest to us. Sinners also need a second chance, maybe a third, maybe a fourth, maybe a fifth. The prodigal son was granted this. Not because the father trusted 100% he will never do it again, but he needed a second chance and he granted him this. Saint Peter needed a second chance, and the Lord Christ, he said to Mary Magdalene, you go and tell my brethren and go to Peter and say to him that I will see you. Peter included by himself because he needed to hear that he will be granted a second chance. Sinners also need to know that the records are deleted. Not only they are forgiven, but the records are not going to be held against them. We hear this in the book of Micah. You will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. This is one of the things, unfortunately, not many of us can practice. We may can forgive, but we keep records. And we bring them to remembrance every time we have a conflict. Ah, but you did this. So the records are not anyway, they are still there. God does not do this. He makes sure that whenever he forgives, he will forget. We don't forget. So this is, again, one of the needs for a sinner, knowing that the records are deleted. Sometimes when we go and approach God in the sacrament of confession, we assume that it's still the record is there. And what I did today is just going to add on it. This is not true. Sinners also need compassion and restoration of dignity. When the Lord Christ healed the leper, he could have said from distance, you are forgiven, you are healed, done, and that's it. But we hear this account in Matthew chapter 8. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Why did he touch him? This man was not touched by any human being for a long time because he's leper. And a leper, people will avoid. They see him from afar and they scream, a leper. And people run away. They do not want to get closer to him. But we find Christ touching this man. Touching him healed his soul before he says, be cleansed, and then he heals his body. Every sinner needs compassion and need his dignity to be restored. Sinners also need to be cleansed and purified. And this is again what we are promised in Isaiah chapter 1. Though your sins are all like scarlet, they shall be as white as the snow. We always walk of this sense of filthiness. My soul is spotted with sin. Even when we know that we are forgiven, even when we confess it frequently, but still we are walking with sense of filthiness. Christ is fulfilling the need for us as sinners to be cleansed and purified. Look here, the promise in the in the first epistle of St. John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is something, cleansing is something else. That's why you come to confession for forgiveness and you come to communion for cleansing and purification. Both of them, they complement one another, and we need both. It's not just a word that you are forgiven. I need to be cleansed, and it is what is granted to me through the sacrament of the Eucharist. At the end, also, a sinner needs hope. When Adam and Eve fell in sin, and they are now out from God's sight, we find a promise. The promise is, he, the son of the woman, shall bruise your head about the serpent. There is a promise of victory. It's going to happen. Just wait. And this promise, I think, is what sustained humanity until the incarnation of the Son of God. We hear in Proverbs, a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. Can you imagine? You call a person who falls 7 times, you call him righteous? How difficult it is. But this is what God is saying. In order for a person never to lose hope, you are still can be counted as righteous, even if you are a person who repeatedly fall in sin. This is totally against what we think and what the world is teaching. Your first mistake is the last. You will always be stained with it. And no matter how we try to pretend, that is okay. But at the end of the day, truly, we know it's hard. But God is different. He fulfilled the needs of a sinner by giving him hope. How he talked with Cain after the Cain offered something was not acceptable by God. And he told him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Giving him hope. At the same moment, the man was in despair and feeling bad about himself. If you try again, I will accept you. Unfortunately, Cain did not make use of this. But hope is one of the things that's so much needed for a sinner. Tomorrow will be better. I will be a better person. I lived my life as a sinner to this moment. My sins are repeated the same. But I still, tomorrow will be a better day. Who gives us this? Only Christ, because he knows how to fulfill our needs as sinners. So beyond the forgiveness and beyond the correction, sinners, they need many things. We all, again, can relate to this. Let me repeat again the list that I just mentioned today. Christ is the one who fulfills the needs of sinners, that they need understanding, patience, to be defended, needed respect, assurance of acceptance, hearing a word of forgiveness, to be seen as valuable. They need second chance. They need to know that the records are deleted. They need compassion and restoration of dignity. They need cleansing and purification, and they need hope. May the Lord Christ, who granted all of these to us as sinners, always assure us of his acceptance. To him is the glory forever and ever. Amen.